The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, Sirius XM Channel 158. It's a numbers game. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin in the hizzy.
Hey,
what's happening?
Not much, man.
By the hizzy, I mean Circa. Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas, less than 48 hours before the beginning of a tradition unlike any other, the 89th Masters. Heavy on, you ready to go heavy on golf one more time, Kelly?
Yeah.
You're not golfed out yet?
No, man, let's go. I'm ready to talk about it for at least 24 more hours.
You are so ready for this to tee off already.
Hey, it's Masters week. Don't we feel like that for like this, during the Super Bowl? How often do we say that after the week in between of the Super Bowl? You're like, let's kick off this game already.
The Masters, at least you say, if there was any week to go golf heavy, and will today.
That's what I'm saying.
This is the week, this is the day.
That's what I'm saying.
The Super Bowl is just a interminable slog.
Yeah, it's the 2 weeks. The 2 weeks is ridiculous.
No question about it.
Nah, man, it's been great. Far more bets than I thought I'd end up with.
I knew you would do that.
Yeah.
See, I'm trying to tamper it down.
I don't regret any of them. Ask me that on Monday, but I don't regret any of them right now.
Well, it's Wednesday. I hope not. I'll ask you the same question tomorrow. Same time. See what happens on Friday. We do have Sia Najad to talk Masters with us as well today. He from the Monumental Sports Network, all of his Masters thoughts. I don't know. We'll ask every guest really for their Masters thoughts and bets, even though they're talking about other things. Michael Montesano on NBA awards. JVT on this Michael Malone firing yesterday with 3 games left in the season. For the Denver Nuggets, they're like, Coach, GM, you guys can't figure it out. You're both gone. So that's interesting.
I've finally gotten to the bottom of it all.
Uh-oh. You got a loose beard hair again. Once again, sticking straight out. Oh, that's going to not distract me at all for 2 hours.
It's going to bother Gil. I finally figured it out, Gil. Both everybody in the Western Conference is so terrified of the Oklahoma City Thunder that they're just getting ahead of offseason moves.
Is that what she came up with?
So instead of losing and then having to fire your head coach, they're just getting it out of the way now.
I see. I'm going to say that's incorrect, but okay. Let's go with that. Baseball yesterday. Let us begin there. May we begin there?
Yeah, of course. Overs abound.
Oakland in Sacramento last night, or we should say, from Oakland to Sactown, Bay Area, and back down. Who knew Tupac Shakur was talking about baseball overs all those years ago?
I like that you are correctly teaching me those lyrics because I always thought it was from the Bay Area to Sactown. But no, I've got the lines mixed up.
That's right. If you could take away anything from this show, let it be that.
Mm-hmm.
Last night, we went over first 5 and full game in Sacramento. I also had an over first 3, by the way, at one stray skin that I did as well. How about one inning of baseball?
Yeah,
at the end of one, it's your Athletics 6, the Padres 3. Over. They are never that easy. Let's just point that out. If you're new to betting, if yesterday was your first day of betting, and that was the first bet you ever placed, do you think there's somebody out there that was the first bet they ever placed?
Oh, man.
Because just quit now.
That's a great question.
Just wrap it up after that one.
Probably.
Yeah, no, it does not get any easier than that one. As Oakland rolls to a 10-4 win over the Padres, and the question becomes, and again, for those who missed it, my explanation of this has to do with the Athletics, primarily their roster construction, how it conformed to a lot of foul ground in Oakland with fly ball pitchers, and how now when they make the transition to Sacramento, well, that will result in overs because a lot of these balls that would have gotten caught in Oakland continued to be pitched to the opposing batters. And when you have 2 fly ball pitchers going at it in these scenarios, we just keep betting the over. Today, once again, guess what? Guess what? It's not rhetorical.
You're in.
2 fly ball pitchers. Once again, now I haven't bet the first 5 yet because I didn't see it before the show, but I did bet the over in the full game. I will add the first 5 as well. Oakland, again, not Oakland, the Athletics, pardon me, hosting the San Diego Padres. Randy Vasquez going for the San Diego Padres. Osvaldo Beto going for the Oakland Athletics. Guess what? The Athletics. Fly ball pitcher. We're going over again. Now, they did adjust to 9.5 this time. So, and yesterday was, remember, we got an 8.5. They bet against. The market went against us down to 8. And that went over again in the first inning. So over 9.5 is the play, and I'll do a first five here by the end of the show, probably by the next break.
Now, question for you. I wanted to ask you. I mean, 9.5, do you think we're seeing, is that 100% park adjustment in what we've seen go on so far, or does this have to do with pitchers, or is it most likely just
their first adjustment.
It's their first adjustment. Yes. Okay.
It's their first adjustment for sure. And the fact that, I shouldn't say that, because they're bullpen exhaustion today as well. So that's part of it for sure.
Okay.
So it's not complete ballpark adjustment.
But a large chunk of it, you think we've gotten to that point?
I think we're seeing the first signs of it.
It's become a popular betting story.
Yes, of course. And yesterday, by the way, everybody who was reacting, and everybody was so pumped on Twitter yesterday reacting to us. But they were also like, hey, can we keep it down from now? It's like, it's kind of too late.
It's out.
It's out there. By the way, real quick, for those who are interested, I do have a tennis bet that's about to start in Monte Carlo. I'm on Francis Tiafoe, big T, big foe.
Nice.
Against Alexei Popperin. Tiafoe is a slight dog in this. Slight plus money. We're playing Tiafoe. If you want to sweat during the show today. Back to baseball for a second. The other implication of the Athletics win over the Padres is that we kind of hit a de facto, not an actual bet, but we hit a de facto three-team parlay yesterday that keeps the race to 10 alive. Can you believe that this is still alive? So first of all, the March-April bet is on the Twins. The Twinkies couldn't be any worse. Like, I don't know what happened with them. They are just so far through April 9th or through April 8th, they've just been terrible in the March-April. But as far as our race to 10, we have the New York Metropolitans at 17-1. Race to 10 wins in Major League Baseball. Can we show the New York, the path that I had with the Mets? This is when you're doing this. Not that one, guys, but the other one before that. When I'm doing this handicap, you go through the games, right? And then the series that the team is about to play. And you sort of project what their path is. And this one is to a finite 10 wins. And so on the left, what we have here is the projected path that I had them going to 10-3, which is to say, and remember when I first talked about this Mets bet race to 10, I said, let's say they only go 1-2 against the Astros to start. By the way, the other thing about that thing last night, before I forget, Fezzik immediately texts on the group text yesterday, I'm going under, let's bet dinner on that Athletics game yesterday. So within one inning, I have a dinner at Delilah's courtesy of the brash schmack talking Steve Fezzik. No dinner will ever taste as good.
I was going to ask you where. You beat me to the punch. You picked one of the correct options.
He picked it for me.
Because my follow-up was going to be like, is he going to use like a Caesars out here? But no, you went Delilah's. You're making him pay.
Here's the thing with Stevie. Yappity yap, yap, yap. But there's a couple sports. I just keep my mouth shut. I'm like, okay, Stevie, you want to challenge me on this? Go ahead. Anyway, back to the Mets. Projected path, 10-3. And I said when I talked about this originally, I was like, Houston, let's say they go 1-2 against Houston. And by the way, Stevie did say, if they go 1-2, they're not going to win this. He might be right about that. But then I had them sweeping the Marlins, going 2-1 against the Jays, sweeping the Marlins again, and winning that 10th game to open up at Sacramento. So it didn't quite go that way. They did go 1-2 against Houston. The Miami and Toronto series were flipped based on what I had them at. And Miami, they've won the first two games. So basically, they're exactly where I thought they would be. The New York Mets at 8-3. Here's the thing now. In these standings, in the race to 10, the Padres lose to the Athletics. They're 9-3. The Dodgers lose again to the Nationals. They're 9-4. The Dodgers have lost 4 of their last 5 after starting 8-1. The Cubbies win yesterday. Remember, the Cubs play that initial 2-game set before the actual domestic season started. They played that 2-game set against the Dodgers in Tokyo. Was it in Tokyo, I believe, to begin the season? Kelly's looking at me like, I don't know. So the Cubbies
right?
Yeah, I believe so. They beat the Rangers. So they're 9-5. So the Padres, Dodgers, and Cubs all have 9 wins. They've got the inside track. Any of those 3 teams can win the race to 10 today. And by the way, in most of those cases, they're all favored. I think they're favored in all 3 cases, some more dramatically than the others. Our Mets for this market, 8-3 now, with the Giants having lost yesterday at 8-3 and the Rangers having lost at 8-4. So here's the diliosis. We have to hit a de facto, after hitting the de facto 3-team parlay with the Mets win and the Dodgers and Padres losses yesterday, we have to hit a de facto 4-team parlay today, which is a Mets win. And the Mets will get the first crack at it this morning, once again hosting the Marlins. They ought to win that. And we will have the ultimate tease, right? We will have the Mets get to 9 And then either the Padres, Dodgers, or Cubs will win one of their games today, get to 10, and we will be knocked out of this. But if we hit this, that the Mets win today, and let's just say the Padres lose to the A's, the Dodgers lose to the Nationals, and the Cubs lose to the Rangers. Hey, anything is possible. I believe Kevin Garnett once said that. Then what would happen is, this is exactly what he meant for the race to 10.
This is exactly
when he screamed that. He was like,
anything is possible
in the race to 10 in 2025. If that happens, all of the teams pictured on the screen, including the Giants and Rangers, everybody's idle tomorrow. And then it would be a decision on Friday. And why do I say it will absolutely be a decision for the race to 10 on Friday? Because the Cubs play the Dodgers. So we will have a dead heat. If that scenario happens today, which again is a long shot to happen, but if it does, we will have a dead heat of some kind on Friday that will either include our Mets or not. Because none of them play tomorrow, and because the Cubs play the Dodgers on Friday, we are guaranteed someone, right, at least one team gets to 10. So the best we can do is a dead heat of two, but most likely what happens is we're knocked out today. But the fact that we're still talking about this, the date, you know, like when the Mets were busy starting 2 and 3, because they've won 6 in a row, and the fact that we've ended up right where we thought we would end up, and the Dodgers just stopped winning baseball games, is pretty incredible. So, looks like we're about to have the ultimate tease, but you never know.
None of those teams are huge favorites today, though. Dodgers -180. I mean, they're the biggest.
It's the biggest.
Padres dogs against the A's. Yeah, Kelly guessing lines on baseball. I would not have had that.
let's not do that. We'll come back and we'll talk some golf. JVT will join us. Talk NBA. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Sports Betting Network.
Want to bet smarter? Start with smarter insights right now. You can check out Wes Reynolds' Masters Preview. It is there. It has marinated and it is available for reading. Is this a year for Rory McIlroy trying to get the career Grand Slam? And Greg Peterson's MLB picks. Later today, you can check out Zach Cohen's NBA Best Bets, Steve Mackinnon's MLB and NBA Analytics Reports, and Jonathan Davis's NHL picks. Right now, you can sign up for our summer special for only $59 for full Visa Pro access until August 1st. Just head to VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up today. Never used to being on camera when I read the promos there.
Hoops right back at it, huh? He doesn't hibernate for a week or two after?
No. Hoops, there's two things with Hoops. Hoops. College Hoops, thus the nickname, ergo the nickname.
And never stopping running.
And Major League Baseball, all while jogging with his headphones on and microphone in his hand. As we've seen.
Extremely impressive.
And Brent Musburger following him in a vehicle, narrating the whole thing. I think that's true.
Right? That's exactly how it was done. Yeah.
Okay. I'm just curious. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from Mark Calloway. He says, how about the over hitting in the first inning, but the Padres team total not clearing last night? Yeah. 4.5 on the Padres team total. That's not fun for those who had the over there. Primetime. Hey, man. Best week of the year. Oh, yeah. Scheduled my fake annual vasectomy appointment for Masters Week. And it's that's great. And installed Peach Crown as a -420 favorite bottle of my annual spring break. And yes, I plan on consolidating the break. Boom. Hashtag tradition like no other.
Boom.
Let's see. Seth Holy Cross. Morning, guys. I found your show after taking betting seriously this year. Great show. Thanks for what you do. I love baseball. And he says, 16-5 this year so far while watching your show and using angles from 1980. Haha, let's go. There you go. I don't know what that part of it meant, but okay. 16-5 is 16-5.
That's right. I think he's just calling you old. I think that's what it was, Gil.
Maybe it was. Well, I do remember 1980.
And what, I do not. I and just
what,
that
and what of it? That's my point. Ladies and gentlemen, let's talk some multiple sports, but maybe NBA first and foremost with Jonathan Von Tobel, our senior NBA analyst, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at me, JVT. John, before we do anything else, do you have a Masters selection? This is a mandatory question I'm asking of everybody today.
Boom, boom. So I'm building up the portfolio. I will say the one that I am gravitating toward that I like for some whatever odd reason, I'm feeling my boy Justin Rose this week. I think he can get this done. Over 66 rounds played at the Masters. He's actually top 10 in true strokes gained. I think we know that he's a good putter, especially if that thing gets hot. He can get it done. So for saying pick the outright you feel the best about, the Justin Rose long shot. I am in.
He's like 100-1, right? Something like
that. Yeah, baby. 115-1. Let's get this thing going. I believe in him. Hopefully, I've been making fun of Matt Youmans because he really hates Sergio Garcia. And I really hope that it comes down to a Sergio Justin Rose playoff once again, because Youmans did have Justin Rose that year, and he ended up, of course, not winning that thing. So I kind of hope for that as well.
Sergio came up on the Beating the Bookmasters podcast. He's been playing very well, right?
Sergio been playing excellent over on LIV. Yep. Comes in with the most strokes gained on the LIV season of all the LIV golfers into the Masters.
Uh-oh.
Watch out for Sergio. I like the Rose selection, JVT. I considered him for a first-round leader bet.
Hmm.
Didn't end up making it, but I considered
him. What was his first-round number?
It was like 60, 70 to 1.
Oh, I don't know. Okay. All right. Every guest will have a Masters thought or two. Let's talk NBA and the big news yesterday. We got off air here yesterday, John, and with three games left in the season, and now today, this morning, you could say it, at least with all the teams of the Western Conference, playoff picture, three games left. That's the story of the NBA. And the Denver Nuggets go ahead and say, you know, let's match the deepest into a season ever firing a coach. And they do so by firing Michael Malone, the winningest coach in Nuggets history, won a championship here, obviously, a couple years ago. And then they let the GM go as well. What do you make of that, sir?
I think it's a little ridiculous. I think that this is a Nuggets team, when you talk about ownership and the front office, that let a championship roster deteriorate. We saw how good they were, how deep they were, and then they cry poor when Kentavious Caldwell-Pope comes up for free agency and say, nah, we can't deal with the sick and apron. We can't deal with the luxury tax. We got to let him go. And the pieces that you have acquired, whether it be through the draft or through free agency, to put on this roster to supplement the losses you've taken over the last few years – have not really panned out. Christian Brown is a good player, but that's really about it. When you look at the depth of this roster, they've allowed this to happen. It's a group that doesn't play very well defensively. In the year of our Lord 2025, DeAndre Jordan is your backup center. There are things that I don't really understand why they have done the things that they have done from a construction standpoint. And then at the end of the year, when you're still pushing for 50 wins, by the way, you are looking at Michael Malone, who is a hard ass. And I don't know about you guys. Youmans and I talked about this yesterday. That probably does rub some people the wrong way. I enjoy that sort of leadership, the no nonsense, this is what you're doing wrong. But maybe that wears down. But you hear from people in Denver, and it doesn't seem like some of the players really wanted this to happen. There was a lot of respect for Malone. It seemed that there was a constant pissing match between him and Booth in the front office, and it ultimately led them to them getting, to them letting him go. So I don't agree with it. I think this is a team that's in a tailspin at this point right now, as we know. They've lost four straight heading into the matchup with Sacramento tonight, but I don't agree at all. And think about this. I texted this to Kelly and Zach Gill. On the free agent market for coaches, you've got two really good ones, of Taylor Jenkins and Michael Malone. Oh, and by the way, Mike Brown was fired this year, and he had a great record for Sacramento. So a lot of great coaches, but I hate this move for Denver.
Year of our Lord and pissing in the same paragraph there from JBT.
That's right.
I just want to note that. Okay, so from a gambling standpoint, if you, and I'm not saying you are, John, but if you were bullish on Denver right now, 8-1 to win the West, double that up for the NBA title. If you were bullish in any potential path for the Nuggets, does this affect that for you if you had that opinion?
I mean, I guess to an extent, right? I would say that if you were bullish on them, I don't know what you were watching. But if I was that guy, I don't know if this would really change too much for you. You still have the best player on the floor in Nikola Jokic. You still got a decent roster around him, especially when you're talking about the starting five. I don't know how much a coach like Malone changes things to a degree. Now, I do think that he is a coach that adds wins on the margins. I think he's a great X's and O's guy. I think he'll have them prepared, certain out of bounds plays, things like that. Maybe you don't get that to the extent that Malone would offer it to you, but is that enough, that difference, to get you off of your position, if you will? So I don't think that would be the case. I would feel that if you're high on Denver before this firing, a lot of your logic is, I've got Nikola Jokic, bro, and nobody else does, and you still have Nikola Jokic, bro. So I think that you're going to be fine if that was part of your logic heading into the firing.
Give us the JVT most outlying opinion, three games shy of the playoffs in the East, and the JVT most outlying opinion in the West. It could be a potential series matchup, who you think might win, whatever the case.
So I think in the East, I don't know if this is too outlying, but I think it's maybe the majority. I do think the Pistons can win a playoff series, and I think that they're a legitimately like dangerous team in that regard. They are very big at the most key position, which is up front of point guard. They have a very good coach, J.B. Bickerstaff. They've had a shooting around Cade Cunningham that they can take on weak perimeter defense like that of the New York Knicks, who they might face in the first round, whoever it may be. I think the Pistons are a legitimate threat to win a first round playoff series. And when you have an alpha player like Cade Cunningham, I think that's something that a lot of people would not want to deal with if you're talking about an opposing team. So I don't know if that's like a super outlier opinion, but depending on where they're priced in their first round series, I'll be gravitating toward the Pistons, whether it is to win the series outright or, you know, within a couple of games, whatever it is and how the market's priced. In the Western Conference, I mean, I guess the outlier performance, we talked about this last week, or the outlier opinion would be, like, when do we start believing in the Clippers to an extent of being a legitimate threat? They are now upwards of, I think, the fourth seed in the Western Conference. Dude, do this again?
Yeah, dude.
What is happening? Dude, Steve's going to kill me. This happened last time. It happened yesterday. I fixed this. I can't do this. Anyway.
Just roll.
Yes. For the record, Steve Cohen, I set the sleep timer. I don't know what's happening here. Okay. And it was actually, this actually probably isn't a good sign. Can I tell you that this happened yesterday right. with the guys on the books?
Right. When
I
was talking about the Clippers.
It happened yesterday too. It happened yesterday when I was talking about the Clippers too. So maybe it's a sign. I don't really like this. But I would say the side. And I swear to God, I said this. So I don't know what happened here.
I've been saving this seat for you on the Clippers trade with me for a while. Okay. So let's go. I knew you were going to warm up to them eventually. They got a shot, JVT. They got a shot.
Clippers, Nuggets, Warriors, Grizzlies, all 47 and 32, inhabiting the 4 through 7 positions in the Western Conference with 3 games left. T-Wolves, 1 game behind that. Lakers, 1 game above that.
Do you know what's just crazy about all this?
Incredible.
How much we can talk about liking the Clippers or Warriors or whatever, and there is a chance that these teams don't even make the playoffs.
That's right, because someone will slip into the play-in and then might not get there. So, anyway. John, before you leave, anything tonight in the association?
Yeah, I think there's a couple angles. First off, I think you're probably continuing this angle of playing against the Suns defense, right? You know, maybe some team total plays. The Warriors really eclipse that. So later this evening, it's not the best situation for the Thunder after putting that effort into that game yesterday. Lakers kind of let go of the rope. But depending on what the injury report looks like for Oklahoma City, you want to make sure everybody's available because they have nothing to play for. So maybe they rest some guys. But Thunder over their team total, I think, definitely an option for you tonight. Against the Phoenix Suns. And that was the only thing that I had. I'm waiting for a couple of injury reports to see what else we're going to have.
Okay, whatever you do, don't say Clippers. Whatever you do. As soon as he got on the bullish Clippers train, the voice of God.
I just don't want to get in trouble. It happened yesterday. I mean, like, I swear, I set it up right.
Thank you, John. Enjoy the games. Good luck with the bets. And we'll talk to you as the playoffs begin, man. No more of this regular season stuff.
Yep, looking forward to it. Thanks, guys.
My man, Jonathan Bontobel at me, JVT. All right, enough messing around. The 89th Masters, next, right here on The Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The Numbers Game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The Masters is here, and our partner Profit X is offering the best odds all tournament long. Profit X is a peer-to-peer sports exchange available in 40-plus states. The first of its kind in the U.S. You'll be able to make your sports picks against other groups of fans rather than against sports books. Exchanges guarantee you the best odds on average by 10 to 20%. And by the way, let me just say this. I think they might be even short selling that. You can even request your own odds. Download ProfitX today with code VSIN and earn up to $200 in profit cash over your first month. Check it out. And when I say check it out, I mean check it out.
Seriously. Like this is one of those weeks. I mean, you should already have checked it out. But if you are doing proper price shopping and looking at stuff, you have to look at the exchanges, look at Profit. You're going to find some of the best numbers out there to bet.
Big foe right there. Big foe break. Monte Carlo. Let's go.
Nice.
Clay season in full effect.
Gil and I just figured out we're going to do the show remotely from Europe during clay season next year.
Yep. Next year, clay season, we're just going to take a train. What, Monte Carlo, Rome, Madrid, Paris.
Yeah. I think it'd be great. We'll set up a little studio in one of the train cars.
We'll sure.
Just do it on the train.
Train cars. Sure.
That's what they're called, right?
I believe so. Yesterday in the world of deportes, there was a couple great comebacks. And when I say great, I mean not for everybody. We'll get to that momentarily. But in hockey, did you see this? The Canucks were losing to the Stars 5-2. And in the final minute of regulation,
no way.
The Canucks put the biscuit in the basket 3 times. A minute left, 30 seconds left, 7 seconds left. They force overtime and they win it. They consolidate the break, if you will.
Is this one of the, was it? I'm sure you don't know the answer. Empty net each time?
Oh, yeah. They had an extra man.
Okay.
No, they had an extra man, I believe, but it wasn't, I mean, still,
I always wonder though, when you're down three that late, like, you know, sometimes they don't even really try, because it's like you're down three, you're not down two. So it's like, did you maybe get the one goal and then you're like, all right, get off the ice, like we got to get an extra skater on?
Well, I wasn't watching, quite frankly, to know all the details, but yeah, I mean, they have extra man, all this, and but that's never happened before in the history of the NHL.
That's wild.
Never happened before. By the way, you know what else hasn't happened before that I was shocked by yesterday? The Celtics won their 33rd road game. It's never happened before. The Boston Celtics, storied franchise, they'd never won 33 road games. I thought that was amazing.
The Celtics as a franchise?
Yeah, okay. I thought that was amazing. The other comeback, and this is the one that's not as fun for some around here. Get it out. Get it out. So Kelly Bidlin, my little buddy over here, he had the Timberwolves minus, was it 3.5 yesterday?
3.5,
yep. Against the Milwaukee Buckaroos.
I don't even know what we closed, like 6. Yeah, 6.
T-Wolves winning by 24 early fourth quarter. I mean, it's Katie bar the door, right? That's over.
I mean, Gil, tell me if I'm wrong here. Tell me if I'm wrong. I did the thing that you should never do as a better.
No.
I'm like, I'm up 24 points in the fourth quarter. This is over. There's too many other good NBA games on.
You turned away.
I'm flipping TVs. And I'm marking it a winner, Donnie. Like, this is over.
In the words of Chucky Booker, you turned away. Yeah, Bucks 110, T-Wolves 103. Good God, what a turnaround.
39-8 run to close the game.
Is that good?
39-8.
By the way, in a game of massive implications for the Timberwolves, yes, it should be noted, because the Timberwolves now are in the 8th hole, as we just mentioned, a game behind that entire, you know, cluster of teams, Clippers, Nuggets, Warriors, Grizzlies. So in the 8 hole, remember how the play-in works in the NBA, I guess, for those who need the reminder, because we haven't said it yet. 7 plays 8, 9 plays 10, 7-8 winner is your 7 seed in the playoffs per conference. The loser of the 7-8 game then takes on the winner of the 9-10 game. Loser of 9-10 eliminated, winner of loser 7-8, winner 9-10 becomes the 8 seed. Hope that made sense. So sorry about that, man.
Yeah, at least your Warriors took care of business last night. I have a feeling that was going to be, I have a feeling that's probably my last sizable wager of the NBA regular season was that Warriors game last night. That, as JVT was bringing up, this Suns team is just, they're toast without KD, and there's very little effort going on out there.
Has there, I mean, I want to say there has been, right? Because there was the whole Brooklyn big three, but like the Suns big three, quote unquote, might have been even worse in terms of their body of work.
I want to make sure I,
because the Brooklyn Nets big three, they were never on the court at the same time.
Yeah,
really, right?
There was a lot of that. And what we had, the Durant with the foot on the line,
that's right?
That
toe could, on the line. Yeah, that's right.
Who knows what could have happened?
This was just an abject disaster. Talking about Booker, Durant,
I think it's going to be really fascinating how we look back at Kevin Durant and his career in 10, 15, 20 years.
I'm always amused by the people that try to burn the Warriors by saying, oh, you did Warrior with Durant. No, they won 2 without him, 1 before and 1 after. Like, that whole narrative is nonsense.
Yeah. And he's,
Durant is the guy that you should be looking at and be like, well, he kind of freeloaded on them.
Mm-hmm. I don't, even though
on those two teams, he was arguably the best player. I get it. But I'm just saying, like, you're right. The legacy is a fascinating thing.
He was, and I think there's a lot of, like, I lost a little bit of respect for him even back then when he chose to go to the Warriors.
He has, you know what we used to call Dusty Baker in San Francisco? When Dusty Baker was the manager of the Giants, we used to say he had rabbit ears. What does that mean? That he listened to sports talk radio every night.
Yes, right, yes.
Right?
And we so know this about
KD
Durant.
Is, he's too much of that.
He's probably listening to us right now. He's got burn accounts totally and everything going, yeah.
Yeah. That's right. He's listening to us right now.
I know we're going back a lot of years now, but like there was that part of me like, hey, you want to be a star player in the NBA and go down, like you don't go join up with Steph to win a ring. Like you go do it on your own, man.
That's what them kids do today. Well, I mean, the Miami Heat did that, right? The whole I'm taking my talents was all about that.
Yeah.
That's a generational thing in the NBA. The people of a certain age,
yeah, but that was more like
this.
The three of them coming together. You know what I mean? That was like KD just like latching his.
You can explain it off all you want, but let me just say, you know, Michael Jordan. No one was going to play with Michael Jordan. They were like, no, we're trying to beat him. That was how it was back in the day.
And that's my point. I wish these guys would all still look at it that way.
Yeah, different generation. All right, the 89th Masters, a tradition unlike any other from Augusta, where you have and we'll go with the topic sense here. Once again, the Masters, of course, the most predictive of all golf tournaments from year to year in terms of the predictive nature of each of the course at Augusta. You have a 7,555 yard course where scoring on the par fives is the key of it all. And I just want to seize, obviously, now you have Scottie Scheffler and Rory McIlroy, who are the short shots to win it all. And then it's double digits for everybody else. You and Matt Brown were kind enough, before you did all your long shot stuff yesterday with Wes, you were kind enough to do the Beating the Book podcast on the Masters. That's available for everybody as well. And Matt's topic sentence, which we didn't start with, but we got to shortly thereafter, and I want to see if you agree with this, because this is a way to contextualize this tournament, is that Scheffler and McIlroy obviously in play. But after that, his point was that then that entire group, Rahm, Morikawa, Schauffele, DeChambeau, Ober, JT, right? You have this Koepka, Matsuyama. You have this group that he said after the top two, Scheffler and McIlroy, where they're almost all not in top form. And so it makes for a very weird dynamic this year where your bets, and I'm paraphrasing Matt because I don't want to hold him to it literally, but basically your bets, one of your instincts ought to be to jump over that group to take a long shot. Am I paraphrasing him correctly? And do you agree?
I would phrase it more as I think you did a great job at the beginning. There are major questions in the middle group. Yes. I think more of the point was look right at the top of the board, or I can make just as good a case as for some guys that are further back as these guys that are in this mid range.
That's better said. Yeah. It's better stated. Correct. That yes, Scheffler, McIlroy in play. But the guys beyond,
because Matt ended up on Rory too, so like it's
he's one of the top two though. But I'm saying like that group afterwards, which in any other tournament, right, you'd be like, oh well, I like Morikawa, I like Ober, I like Koepka, whatever. That it's just because of Liv. Also, you just don't know with a lot of these guys.
We could just go down the list right now. Rahm, okay, he's finished top 10 in every Liv event he's played this year. Liv fields are not very big, though, Gil. He hasn't won one.
Right.
Like, that's a little bit of a concern. I think John Rahm's still one of the best players in the world, but it would be nice to know if he had won heading in. Colin Morikawa, he's struggling to win these days. And if you go back and look at where his big wins have come, they came during pandemic times where there wasn't people on the golf course. There wasn't fans out there. And he's had trouble closing on Sundays now. Xander Schauffele coming off of injury. Xander could be the one. He could be the sleeping giant that nobody's thinking of. I keep saying it. Been saying it the past couple days, Gil. You find Xander mid-20s. You want to bet him. I have no problems with that, because he could absolutely come back and look like he did last summer, where he looked like one of the best golfers in the world, winning two majors. Bryson DeChambeau, I think there's going to be a lot of excitement for him. I actually think he's one of the guys I have less questions about. We have seen him win a major in the past year, but he hasn't performed as well as some of the other guys on the LIV Tour this year. Ludvig Åberg, Justin Thomas, Hideki Matsuyama, I will group all three together. All three of these guys could win this tournament. They are three of the top, absolutely top 10, probably top five players, top 10 players on the PGA Tour. All of Åberg and Matsuyama have both won this year. All three of them, though, have not put together any consistent stretches of multiple weeks. And then Brooks Koepka is not Brooks Koepka right now. So, yeah, you can poke holes in all those.
All right. What Kelly did at bet, his entire card. Can we finally do that? Your entire card,
yeah.
On the other side, some NBA, some NFL draft stuff as well. We'll get to that. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
I thought Fezzik was going to be mad at me for me slamming him earlier. He goes, text by text, nice shirt. Thank you, Stevie. Want to know where the money's really going? Unlike other sources, our betting splits come straight from Circa and DraftKings Sportsbooks, giving you insight into where the sharp action is landing. Circa, known for taking big bets from pro bettors, while DraftKings provides a broader market perspective. That means you're getting the real action, not just public money, but the kind of wagers that move lines. See the percentage of bets versus percentage of handle on every game across every major sport, helping make you a smarter, better, more informed bets as well. Get VSiN's summer special right now for only $59 until August 1st at VSiN.com/subscribe.
Flip bets!
Oh, man, that's been a long time since you've done that.
I was thinking about that the other day. I was like, I got to do that. I don't even think I've done that in this studio yet.
Wow. That's absolutely right. We got to bring that back. Do we get tweets at beating the book? We do get tweets at beating the book.
Torch probably gave Darnell a heart attack.
Torch D, the one who put a satin on your panties. He said, "Did you see Jaws grenade last night?" Yes. What is he doing?
Did you see Jalen Wells? Like, oh, that was scary.
That was very scary. Not yet, guys. Not yet. I know you're very anxious. Just got to get through the tweets. Chad Lee, JVT joining the ranks with the Bear and Dr. Bob with a potty mouth this morning. I wasn't really qualified as a potty mouth.
Oh, yeah, no, that's fine. Yeah, that was
just that he said
fine.
Year of Lord, and then he threw out that word.
I do chuckle. He uses it often. I do chuckle. Anytime you say the year of our Lord 2025, yeah. It's comical. Sorry.
3JackH3131. Another day goes by and the numbers game increases its bouginess. Yeah, we're getting insufferable.
He said, why? Just because we want to go take a train around Europe to do the show? What are you talking about?
He says, now we're riding in train cars and sipping martinis on our way to Monte Carlo. Just remember to book a slip for your yacht and hold those pinky fingers high. That's a good point about the slip for the yacht.
I'm not a martini guy. Not a martini guy.
I would hate to own a boat. Just have your friend own a boat.
You find friends that have boats.
Right.
You don't buy boats.
Cheap prop bets. Durant likely to tweet at you from a burner account for your comments. How dare you question him? And Jack in a Prius 2.0. Yo, I wasn't going to bring it up because the pain is still so fresh and raw. But since you did, I actually had the Stars minus a goal and a half in that game last night. By the way, Zalatoris is my master's pick. And Jason Weingarten has just retweeted the show schedule, so we know he will be here later. That's news for me and Kelly. Wasn't for you guys. That was for us. Dan Groeschel, how about the Guardian Sox game yesterday? Nada por todos. Then a walk-off walk in the ninth extending. Unrelated. How soon is too soon to pay attention to a certain streak happening for a certain Chicago team named for a piece of clothing? Oh, man. Speaking in riddles now.
I think he's talking about the Sox and not the Cubs.
That's correct. And Jim Fouch. Would you use Wes Reynolds' approach to construct DFS rosters for the Masters? I'll cede that one to you, sir. Would you use Wes Reynolds' approach to construct DFS rosters for the Masters?
I guess I'm going to read into that a little bit and assume you're talking about some of the stat modeling that we do. And absolutely,
I would say yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It applies the same way. There is, if you live in states, I mean, frankly, I haven't gotten into golf DFS at all because I cannot play golf. I cannot play DFS of any kind here in Nevada. If you're a golf bettor out there, though, most golf bettors that I know, Gil, that do not live in Nevada, yes, they absolutely play DFS along with betting golf weekly.
White Sox, by the way,
a lot of that is because you can find. What you often find is some of what the salaries are for DFS for golfers will be off from what the betting odds are. Yeah. So you can find value, just like you're finding value in outright market prices, you can find value in some of the DFS.
You know who's a big DFS golf guy? Todd Wright, our buddy.
Makes sense.
You know, White Sox have lost 6 in a row, by the way, just to clarify. Okay, now, time to go country clubbing for the Masters.
Oh, yeah. Been a busy week. Forgot about this couple times.
You think Hootie used to jam this? We used to rock this in his office.
I'm really much appreciating the crew back there now. Have you seen this? Wyatt's up and down. Savannah's waving the phone. That's Rob back there. There we go. Hell out.
I don't want to hear this music in the Butler cabin ever again. I know we don't have a Max Homa problem this year, but we might have a Daniel Berger problem. Let's take care of that real quick.
All right. Let's hear everything you bet. Let's hear it all. You went crazy, didn't you?
I had someone ripping me on Twitter for one of my bets having to do with Max Homa. Max Homa in such bad form right now. I love the guy, but he is an easy target. Someone tweets, did you really lay minus 118 with Zach Johnson in a matchup over Max Homa? Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Max Homa is a disaster right now. They started this up.
The most egregious aggressive bet you made, I'll be just tip again for people who missed it yesterday or missed the podcast. You are picking on Bernhard Langer in a matchup also.
Yeah, yeah. I might as well get those two out of the way because they're the kind of, well, actually I have a ton of tournament matchups. This isn't a tournament matchup. It's top German in the Masters.
Yeah.
Steven Yeager, there's only two of them, so it's basically a tournament matchup. I played Steven Yeager, and I laid minus 325 over Bernhard Langer, yes.
Can I tell you something? I hope Bernhard Langer gives you a scare. I don't want you to lose, but I hope he scares you.
He has before.
You're picking on an old man.
He also had an emotional press conference yesterday because this is will be his, this will final, be his final year.
Masters. Yeah. So that's the thing about the Masters, again, just to be serious for a second. You have a small field to begin with, right? 95, I believe, is the current number.
Yes, 95.
Yeah. 95. And then you have about 20 dudes, 15 to 20 guys, the Jose Maria Olazabals of the world, who have no shot whatsoever at winning this tournament. So it becomes this really small tournament where almost everyone will make the cut, oftentimes, as well.
A lot of the main contenders.
Yeah. And so
you still have a cut at 50.
It's just a different animal. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, it really is. Probably don't have time for it now, but I had a really funny interview with Bernard Langer one time.
Oh, yeah.
It was at a Champions Tour event, was able to grab him, did that whole, like, I'm like, there's Bernard Langer, let me grab him for an interview, see if he'll do one quick. He was very okay doing the interview. Just have a feeling this is him kind of being German, but it was like him very okay doing the interview. He looked miserable throughout the entire time and then wanted to talk with me after for like 10 more minutes.
Oh, nice.
Was like the nicest guy ever, but he looked miserable the entire time I was talking to him.
But he felt the joy of Kelly Bidlin.
That's right. He felt the joy. He felt the joy. All right. Outrights for the Masters. I am in on Rory. I got him at plus 735. I think it ends now. The Grand Slam, career Grand Slam drought. It's finally over, Gil. Rory gets home. He slips on the green jacket on Sunday. He's a happy guy. I'm a happy guy. A lot of bettors are happy people.
This is his 11th try.
11th try. He is coming into this tournament in better form than he has in any of those others for his attempt to close this out. So really do like Rory this week. I think that pricing between him and Scheffler should be a lot tighter than it is. They are definitely the top two guys, though, in this field. Well, not, this is no disrespect or shade or anything for against Scottie Scheffler. I think he could still and probably still will have a great Masters. The way I would describe it, Gil, is I think Scottie Scheffler probably has a higher floor this week. Rory McIlroy has the higher ceiling, and I'm going to bet on that with the chance for him to complete the career Grand Slam. So Rory in the outright market, also cover him with the top five, and then Shane Lowry was the only other outright that I did add this week, covering him with the top 10 in that market, 45-1. I still saw 45-1s out there yesterday on Shane Lowry. Really like what he's doing with his iron play right now. If it's around the green play is going to become important at some point this week. It always does during the Masters. He's one of the better guys out there when it comes to scrambling and around the green. Really like his ability to show up big this week at Augusta. Other outrights I bet earlier in the season, Akshay Batia at 90-1, Sepp Straka at 100-1. Gil, I know you're in on Sepp. I would absolutely bet Sepp at current price too. I think it's around 70-1. I think he's a good bet at current price. I added on top five and top 20s on Sepp Straka. So
I went top 10. Interesting that you did the other two.
Yeah. Yeah, I did it for a little bit of the top five to cover my outright and then went heavier on the top 20s. Top 20s, plus 160, plus 180. Was waiting for Circa to post prices, so I did add a couple of these bets last night.
Welcome, Las Vegas Sportsbooks, to the Masters.
That's right. Colin Morikawa, one of my bigger bets is Colin Morikawa this week, just in the top 10 market. So I'm not betting him anywhere else. I think there are trust issues with Colin right now and whether he can close out these big tournaments. However, history at the Masters, history in majors, how well he's done this year. He checks all the boxes this week. Wouldn't be a surprise if he wins. I'm just going to play him in the top 10 market, though. A couple other top 20s that I really like. Robert McIntyre has played really well this year on tour. We always talk about lefties and how their game should set up well at Augusta. I think Bobby Mack could have a big week. He is a guy that I bet multiple times in the top 20 market. Then another guy I bet pretty heavily in top 20 market. I have no interest in outright bets on this guy. Corey Connors, plus 160. He has played some incredible golf here of recent. Last three tournaments, T18, T8, T6, and third, last four tournaments, all top 20 finishes for Corey Connors. The irons are really heating up. His scrambling and around the green play, which has not really been his strongest suit, he's actually been very, very good with so far. Let's see. I'm going to run through everything else really quick. Tournament matchups. Berger over Tony Finau. These are kind of all number plays for me. Berger over Burns. Schauffele over John Rahm. Justin Thomas over Patrick Cantlay. Spieth over Koepka. Keegan over Aaron Ryde. Zach Johnson over Max Homa. I have some first-round leaders, too, Gil.
First-round leaders on the other side.
Yeah.
Among our guests in the second hour, Sia Najad, known for his first-round leader bets as well. We'll do that and more. Numbers Game, VSiN.